Round, round, get around,
I get around,
yeah,
get around, round, round, I get around,
I get around.
Morning, 6/17/2020.
We always take my car because it's never been beat, and we never miss yet with the girls we meet.
Sure doesn't feel like summer, does it? I don't know what's going on. Little Beach Boys. Try to hit those high notes. Good luck. Maybe in the shower. You can hit those high notes in the shower, maybe. couple tequilas, I can hit those high notes. About four. So let's jump right into it. Headline. Life-saving coronavirus drug, dexamethasone discovered through trial. We need some drug music. Oh. Researchers in England say they found a breakthrough in the COVID-19 treatment with a cheap, widely available drug that can improve survival by up to one-third among severely ill patients in a hospital. University of Oxford researchers announced Tuesday that the steroid called dexamethasone can decrease the risk of death by 35% among patients on ventilators after 28 days of taking the drug. Hospitalized patients who don't need breathing machines, only supplemental oxygen, have seen their chances of survival improve by 20% in the same time frame, researchers said. That means Fauci will put the wood to this. Fauci and his criminal cohorts at the National Institute of Health will make sure this drug never sees the light of day in the U.S.
Now, we can't make money off of this on the side deal. Make sure that...
The drug doesn't appear to help those with moderate cases, but among those who are severely ill, countless lives will be saved globally, said Nick Kamick of Wellcome, a British charity that supports scientific research. Yeah. It all sounds good until Bill Gates decides that it's no good. He's like fucking Maverick in the airplane. It's no good. It's no good. It's no good. Oh, man, what a country. We got music for the whole family. Come on down. Special shout out to everybody out there on patreon.com/truepundit. And subscribestar.com/truepundit, where we do the video version of this podcast. And folks are supporting us on there, and we do appreciate it, as I've said many times. Thank you for keeping the lights on and keeping us in ramen pride noodles while professional liars are on Fox News and other places eating filet mignon and shrimp cocktail, lying to you on a regular basis. But that's okay. We'll work our way up. We appreciate the support. And we're coming off a more pain show. on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for subscribers only. We just did that Tuesday night. Two podcasts coming out tomorrow. Look out! This is one of them, Pain in the Morning. And the other Big Wednesday podcast will be out after that. And you're not going to want to miss that. So be some breaking news on that, as usual. And in-depth analysis of some of the things going on with the coronavirus, the Corona-con, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it a scam-demic, a plandemic. I think Corona-con, VM, our buddy VM, a friend of the show, has named it Corona-con very early on, I think on the second day. So I'm going with that. Let's see what we got here. Another headline, another highly touted hydrochloroquine study turns out to be a joke. In other words, let's see what happened here. Some more music. Last week, Lancet had to retract the most highly touted hydrochloroquine study to date, which was used as evidence for entire countries to change their stance on the drug. The study was obviously flawed on its face. It turned out to be produced by a shell company with unverified data gathered by non-scientists. But when the study flopped, another study was immediately latched onto. It's called the Recovery Trials and was done in the UK. Supposedly, this study was the counter to the fake study published. I can't keep track of these fucking studies. This study and that study. And that study. This fucking study. I didn't even study this much to get through college. It's the best 8 years of my life. Let me break this down for you. These dopes came out and they said that hydrochloroquine was no good against COVID-19. What's up with this fucking song? It's like dragging. Or in the headphones, I'm like on an acid trip or something. So the mushrooms I had on my cheesesteak might not have been the mushrooms I thought I ordered. It's going to... Hunter S. Thompson in a half an hour on here. They made this hydrochloroquine look stupid, I think, and say it didn't work. It was like a bogus study by some dopes. You think maybe Facebook and Zuckerberg could actually fact check something like that instead of the articles that we do? They bring it... Well, I'm not going to get into it. They proved that the study was bad. Edmund Fordman wrote on what is emerging as a controversy in which it appears the lead of the recovery trial took hydrochloroquine for another drug, resulting in a high death rate. In other words, they said this stuff was no good and people were dying. They weren't even talking about the same damn drug. Well, Fleetwood Mac, tell me lies. Little lies? These are big lies. Internet sleuths also got to work on the very heavy dose of the drug that were given. 2,400 milligrams in the first 24 hours. A dose fit for a gorilla, as one critic had it. 2,400 milligrams? What is this, a drug deal? Quizzed about this, Landry defended the dosage twice as saying... It's highly unusual for other diseases, such as amoebic dysentery. Say again? Amoebic dysentery? What's this guy talking about? Hydrochloroquine is used for lupus and arthritis, as well as malaria, but dysentery? I must be losing my fucking mind. It's dysentery. Too many medical terms. I'm losing it. This is the drug of dysentery. Dysentery, you dumb Irish Mick. Let's go back. This is why I couldn't get into Harvard. Top of my class, ended up at state school. This is why. And why I'm in journalism. Hydrochloroquine is used for lupus and arthritis as well as malaria. But dysentery? As a footnote in medical history, the older chloroquine was used half a century ago in attempts to control dysentery. But Professor Perron, Christian Perron, head of the infectious diseases in Garcher, France, told the Francois that it had been abandoned before 1976. Was laundry in this study confusing hydrochloroquine with hydroxyquinolones, which is used for dysentery? Obviously, they fucked up here. Some dope was testing the wrong drug and then reporting on that drug's effects and reporting it under the menu/itemized list of the side effects of hydrochloroquine, even though it wasn't hydrochloroquine. 11,032 patients that's got to be wrong. Let me check. 1,132 patients, more like it, died in the recovery trial, with general death rates nearly 10% higher than any other country's hospitals. The trial was randomized through Britain's NHS. That's their equivalent of the National Institute of Health in the United States. Whether giving people three times the usual dosage of most other studies played a part is now a very real question. Were they killing people? Giving them the wrong drug in the study? Oh, my God. Sure looked that way. Here, we're testing, doing a study on hydrochloroquine. Here's another drug that's not that. And here's three times the amount. And, oh, they died. Landry, what's going on over in the UK with the medicine? You have this dope Ferguson who said 2 million people are going to die in the U.S., this Soylent and Green fucking Tiny Tim fucking Oliver Twist medical prick. Landry explained there was no approved dosing for COVID because it was a new disease. Asked whether the UK had a maximum dose for hydrochloroquine, Landry wasn't sure. Is this guy a doctor? This guy went to medical school with Dr. Scholes and Dr. Feelgood, Dr. Doolittle. Landry wasn't sure about a maximum dosage, but opined it would be much larger, say 6 to 10 times the trial's dose. So maybe they can use it to kill gorillas. That makes 24 grams. Expert says about 490 milligrams per day for a 75-kilogram adult. What's that, about 150-pound adult? This goes on and on and on. But basically, it says 24 grams at one dosage would be almost certainly lethal and possibly even to kill a gorilla. That's nice. These are the people, guys. These are the people that the dopes like Fauci and the coronavirus task force, they're using these people's data to make decisions. Obviously, this was just a hammer job on hydrochloroquine to make it look bad. This is getting pretty bad. They're just railroading stuff. It's very corrupt. We're learning that. We found that out. It's massively corrupt. I get texts coming in at breakneck speed. Let me check them real quick. Because sometimes as we're trying to prepare, things on the Wednesday podcast and other things that we hold off on until the very end so we can get breaking news in. So I'm always checking my various media communication devices for updates and breaking news. Headline, the LAPD has run out of cash and can't pay officers overtime. Morale is at rock bottom. Hello, Johnny Rivers. I'll take a little sip of water while I enjoy the smooth sounds of Johnny Rivers.
How can you tell me how much you missed me?
The poor side of town. The Los Angeles Police Department budget has been so depleted by the COVID-19 outbreak, and officers have been working so much due to the recent protests that the department has run out of cash and no longer can afford to pay officers overtime. And the poor side of town is our... in the poor town. Both sides are poor. Johnny Rivers. Going forward, officers will be paid for overtime they work with additional time paid off. And the normal limit on the number of hours they can accrue has been lifted. It's very disheartening, Sergeant Jaretta Sandoz, Vice President of the LAPD Protective League, said. Just getting crazy with these things going on. The officers have lost trust. They were told, cancel days off, cancel vacations, and we will pay you cash overtime. Then a memo comes out that they have no more cash. They're too busy spending it on pandering to crazy mobs. Yeah, the officers are not. Hey, if you're a store owner or a shop owner, you better get on the roof. Like the LA riots, the Korean shop owners were on the roof with the rifles. Get to the roof. Get the guns. Get to the roof. LAPD aren't coming around. The officers are not happy right now, aside from taking bottles, bricks to the head. I don't know what else they can handle. And now to be told there's no cash, they're at their wit's end. Why would you put your life on the line for no cash? I mean, you know, that hero stuff is great as long as you're getting paid. Take it from me, but if there's no money in it, I'm not going to go on the street and get my ass whooped. LAPD officers have worked about $40 million in overtime during the recent protests and riots, and the city's unable to pay. Yep, they're spending too much money on stupid things out there. Maybe take some of the money from the Save the Fucking Turtle Fund out there. What other kind of weird stuff they do. And pay the cops. For your city looks like an ashtray. Like it did after the Rodney King riots. The verdict riots. It's rock bottom, very, very low. They're not robots, they're human beings. And to have city leaders turn their back on them in the midst of a pandemic, as well as riots and protests, angry mobs that were attacking them on the front lines, when they're trying to protect life and property, it's hard for them right now, Sandoz said about officers' morale. The Los Angeles City Council Budget Committee moved forward with a proposal to cut up $150 million from the LAPD budget. Should be considered by the full council. They don't have enough money now. They're going to cut another 150. Think they could take some money out of Mayor Garcetti's necktie collection. That's probably an extra $25 million right there. The guy thinks he's Don Juan. Still looking at these texts. I'm sorry. I have to hit the stuff on the fly because I'm expecting some stuff to come in from the West Coast. And it's getting late. Okay. New headline. This is like on the fly. This is how I operate. New headline. Unusually large number of Minneapolis police are quitting. They cite the lack of support from the city's Democrat leaders and riots. Maybe if you guys didn't run away when they were burning the city down, you'd have more sympathetic folks to hear your pleas. What we got here? Minneapolis police. I wasn't aware they had a fucking police department. They were hall monitors. Minneapolis Police Department was a track team last time I saw him running away from a mob. At least seven Minneapolis police officers have resigned from the department since widespread unrest began over the death of George Floyd last month. More than half a dozen are in the process of leaving. Morale has sunk to a new low in recent weeks, says department insiders, as officers reported feeling misunderstood and squeezed by all sides. By the state probe, by protesters who hurled bricks and epithets their way, by city leaders. I think the message we're getting here is the police just want to, as the animals are about to say right now, wasn't this the theme song when the Minneapolis police were running away from that crazed mob? This should have been playing in the background, like the soundtrack to Apocalypse Now. Sorry, I don't really have a lot of sympathy for the Minneapolis Police Department, though. Well, number one, you kill a guy in the street. Number two, you run away when the shit hits the fan. Not only that, you surrendered a police station that later burned to the ground on national television. The Star Tribune underscores that the number of police officers who are quitting represents an unusually large exodus. You think so? We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do. This will also be the theme song for Minneapolis residents. Police told the newspaper that they were angered by Democrat Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Skinny Jeans Frey's decision to abandon the 3rd Precinct police station, which they said interpreted as a sign that he was siding with the rioters. I think it's more of a sign, an interpretation that he just had too many soy lattes that day. Mayor Butterstick, when the heat was on, he melted like fucking poor Redenbacher popcorn butter. The Associated Press suggested that the recent calls by the Minneapolis City Council, which is controlled by Democrats, to defund the police also played a role. You think so? Great work by the Associated Press. Way to put the pieces together, guys. Great dogged research. Fucking dummies. Fucking mannequins. This I saw last night. This story is bizarre. Okay, bizarre. NYPD officers taken to the hospital after drinking milkshakes at the Shake Shack. Quote, no criminality. I wanted to stay away from this because there was a lot of stuff flying around that they were poisoned and things like that. And it was breaking late last night. I said, let's just see how this shakes out. No pun intended. What do we got here for this? Oh, poison. How about some poison? Why not? Three NYPD officers were taken to the hospital on Monday night after drinking milkshakes at a Shake Shack in the city that they said had an unfamiliar taste. It was later determined that there was no criminality after police investigated the scene. I guess that would mean that The fact that I'm playing Poison is just happenstance, and there's no inherent reason. It's just for legal disclaimer. I don't know why we picked this song. Since the cops say nobody was poisoned, it's just happenstance. It's just merely happenstance for legal reasons. After a thorough investigation by the NYPD's Manhattan South, it's been determined that there was no criminality by Shake Shack's employees, Chief Rodney Harrison, the head of detectives for the department, announced on Twitter. I'm sure nothing happened. I found out through the history of traveling around the United States, whenever you go to get food from any place or libations or gentlemen's club or hot dog stand, ice cream, at any place named Shack with the word Shack in it, it's a pretty good indication that things might go a little haywire. Patrick Lynch, the president of the Patrolman's Benevolent Association of New York, said these officers were working protest detail and stopped at the location on Broadway and Fulton Street. He said one of the police officers discovered that a toxic substance believed to be bleach had been placed in their beverages. I think in some places you can order bleach, can't you? In your shake? No? Fucking Shake Shack. When New York City police officers cannot even take a meal without coming under attack, it's clear that the environment in which we work has deteriorated to a critical level. It's New York City. It wouldn't surprise me if you got charged extra for bleach. I mean, I know that with all the coronavirus, the price of bleach is up. Maybe it's one thing to get poisoned, but it's another thing to get double charged for it. That's where I draw the line, damn it. On the bright side, bleach can really clean you out. You know, it has all these modern day hippies have all these things. I have to do a cleanse. Yeah, this is a... That's what these dopes, corporate dopes. That was our cleanse shake. Yeah, it's clearly advertised that we put the bleach in there. It's a cleansing thing. People love it. People, especially on California, they love it. you can't even make this stuff up, man. Can't even make it up. Oh, we got another one on the poison side. National Guard soldiers found glass in their pizza they ordered when they were deployed in Washington, D.C. Oh, and a little Leonard Skinner poison whiskey. Take a drink of water. Whoops. That'll be the next thing. They'll start poisoning the booze, then there'll be a riot. Bad enough they have these seltzer beers now. That's pretty good, fucking close to poison. What's the name of that one thing? It's like a seltzer beer. Let me look it up real quick. I always forget it. Thank God it's not on the tip of my tongue. A White Claw. Jesus Christ. White Claw. We were to get together, the fraternity brothers, one of the higher ups in the DEA brought a cooler, a White Claw. He almost got his ass whooped. Don't show up at our situation with a case of White Claw. Could go real bad real fast. I still don't know what the hell that was about, but that's all we can say about that. That ended quickly. little strange. Song just cut out. Let's take a look at this real quick. There's always technical issues here. Well, one man band, everybody relax. This isn't fucking Rush Limbaugh. Two soldiers from South Carolina's National Guard who were recently deployed to the nation's capital to quell unrest following the death of George Floyd reportedly found shards of glass baked into a pizza they had ordered there. Is the glass extra too? Man. These restaurants are getting creative to try to make up for the money they lost. The startling discovery was made amid the dough and cheese after the pie arrived at the Marriott Marquis Hotel where the troops had been staying, according to the Post and Courier newspaper, citing a report from the Department of Defense. The report said the troops did not eat the pizza. That's always a good tip when you find glass in your pizza. Maybe don't eat it.
Now, this is bullshit. We paid $40 for these pizzas. We're eating them. Glass or no glass. Bullshit. That's a tough economy.
The command says that the soldiers are okay and that this was the only incident to their knowledge, Captain Jessica Donnelly, a spokesman for the South Carolina National Guard, told the newspaper. Jesus, what the hell's going on out here, folks? This is right up, this is like another one of these phony balonies. No one's going to miss these guys. Nobody's going to miss these dopes. Bail out fund promoted by celebrities is under fire after taking in $30 million. And these guys spent almost no money on bail. In other words, they're like,
yeah, we got to get a fund together. We can bail these people out, these protesters out.
And and the dopey Americans lined up and funded it for $30 million, and the fucking celebrities didn't put any of their own money in. But these guys are all world with other people's money. All world. Maybe they can go to jail before it's over.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame?
On Monday, the celebrity-touted Minnesota Freedom Fund posted a message online after facing intense backlash over the bailout, charities, allocation of funds, and lack of transparency, according to the MFFs. MFF, you know what that stands for. According to the MFF's website, the organization has brought in over $30 million in donations since the death of George Floyd. However, only $200,000 in donations, less than 1% of the funds, have actually been used to bail out protesters and rioters. Where's all the money at?
Now we got $30 million and we're not bailing out fucking anybody.
Yeah, I thought you guys were going to use that money for bailing people out.
Oh, we're using it for bails. We're bailing the fucking money in sacks.
According to the report, many online have said the MFF had collected $35 million in donations in recent weeks and spent only a small fraction, prompting $35 million and only $200K to start trending on Twitter.
Now, we need to bail some shit out now. There's no way to, no better way to bail somebody out than to buy a new boat.
It's not clear exactly how much the fund has raised since protests began, but on the frequently asked questions section of the MFF website, it said that more than $30 million had been donated to the fund in the wake of Floyd's death. Yeah, but where's the money at? Should be called the FF. Not the MFF, the FFS. For fuck's sake, where's the money? The For Fuck's Sake Fund. When is somebody going to go to fucking jail for ripping people off? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. The texts are coming in hot and heavy. It must be something going on. I can't read every single one. I'm going to snap. Oh, boy. Where are we at? Okay, we're moving along here. Again, we have the big Wednesday podcast coming. So we'll cut through this and see how well we do. And progressive mayor who supported the Black Lives Matter gets his home vandalized during the riots, calls it domestic terrorism. Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. How could it be domestic terrorism if you support Black Lives Matter? I guess that means you're calling Black Lives Matter like a domestic terror group. Ooh, don't do that. That might be too close to the truth. What we got for this? Oh, yeah. Little Rage Against the Machine. Olympia, Washington mayor, Cheryl Selby. It's always these women mayors. They're dopes. I'm sorry. These Democratic mayors, the women are complete cement heads. I feel bad for you guys out there that are married to these women. Of course, most of these women aren't married. That's a subject for Pain After Dark, not Pain in the Morning. But, take my own advice here. Quit it now. I'm going to quit it now. Mayor Cheryl Selby? She should have a sell-by date. This broad should be tossed out of office. She's past her sell-by date. Been a vocal supporter of Black Lives Matter and those protesting and rioting across the nation. Yet when her own home was vandalized during the demonstration, she called it domestic terrorism. Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! The sons of bitches fucking wrecked my house! Prosecute them! It's all fun and games until someone trashes your IKEA furniture. The Olympian reported last week that two groups converged in downtown Olympia and some became destructive, burning flags, smashing windows, and spray painting businesses. It's all peaceful.
I support peaceful demonstrations. These people are being unfairly stereotyped. The sons of bitches! They stole all my shit.
They trashed the town before moving into Selby's neighborhood and vandalizing her home. One group, the outlet explained, comprised about 50 people wearing black to recreate a previous protest in the area. A second group was made up of about 30 people wearing neon yellow t-shirts calling themselves the Peacekeepers, who cleaned up after the people in black. Oh, it's like a 1-2 punch. That's nice. The Peacekeepers go in and see what's left over.
God damn it, they stole all the... stole all the good stuff. What do we got here? Got some 8-tracks, for Christ's sakes. How do I get a black shirt? I gotta get rid of this fluorescent shirt.
The black-clad group marched to City Hall before making its way through downtown Olympia. The protesters took trash cans and road work ahead signs from parking lots and sidewalks, dragging them into streets and flipping them on their side. The Peacekeepers then put them back while the other group heckled them. They dropped those road work ahead signs pretty quick when they found that you could get free stuff down the road.
Hey, the mayor's got 3 or 4 flat screens. Let's get it. That's his bullshit. Put those road signs down. Get myself some Samsungs.
The group wearing black eventually marched in Selby's South Capitol neighborhood. They chanted, "Abolish the police," outside her home, while someone spray-painted BLM on her front porch and trashed her door. A man nearby reportedly got the protesters to leave. Does anybody in this neighborhood have a fucking gun? Just curious. It's like, you know, when there's a mob, you don't usually just yell down the street and tell somebody to leave.
Oh, you guys break it up out there. This is they're working people in this neighborhood. For Christ's sake, so people gotta get up at work in the morning.
It's coronavirus, buddy. Nobody's working.
Oh, my bad. I made a mistake. Carry on.
Selby and her family weren't home when they trashed the place, but she received texts from neighbors about the vandalism.
It's like, do you know that there's a mob raiding your house right now? Are you aware of that? Hit me back.
I'm really trying to process this, she told the Olympian. It's like domestic terrorism. It's unfair.
Wait a minute. You supported these guys.
Oh, that's interesting. Earlier this month, Selby released a statement supporting the protests and saying she would not institute a curfew. Stating sympathy for the police-involved death of Minneapolis resident George Floyd, which sparked the protests and riots across the nation. Every day since his murder, our country has shaken, Selby said, according to the Olympian, convulsing between fear, rage, and nausea. We should feel sick. Those of us who hold the most microphones in our communities should feel nauseous. You're going to have to buy some new microphones because this is what happens when you acquiesce to thugs. I've said this many times. It's only a matter of time before they come looking for you. Either purposely or by happenstance, you know, you don't let these things fester. They come back to haunt you. Come back to haunt you. Rolling Stone editor unloads on the media, says the American left has lost its mind. This is interesting. Rolling Stone magazine. Oh, let's see. Let's get some Rolling Stone music. The Rolling Stone magazine. Rolling Stone magazine is a liberal rag, and the editor, Matt Taibbi, is unquestionably a liberal, and yet by some miracle, Taibbi has seen the light and isn't afraid to point out what is so clearly obvious to conservatives. I don't know who wrote this, but Taibbi has a good book called Hate Incorporated, and it's just vicious takedown of the media, so this guy's astute and know what's going on, and I think he may be liberal, but I think his book is a very enlightening look into the zoo of what today's media really is. It's a zoo. So whether he's editor of Rolling Stone or not, I think somewhat unfair to paint him in that corner, because I think that his work paints a different picture. It feels liberating to say after years of tiptoeing around the fact, but the American left has lost its mind, Taibbi wrote. It's become a cowardly mob of upper-class social media addicts, Twitter, Robespierres, who move from discipline to discipline, torching reputations and jobs with breathtaking casualness. The leaders of this new movement are replacing traditional liberal beliefs about tolerance, free inquiry, and even racial harmony with ideas so toxic and unattractive that they eschew debate, moving straight to shaming, threats, and intimidation. Taibbi continued. It reads a lot like his book, his takedown of the mainstream media. They've conned organizations after organization into empowering panels to search out thought crime, and it's established now that anything can be an offense. From a UCLA professor placed under investigation for reading Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail out loud, to a data scientist fired from a research firm for, get this, retweeting an academic study suggesting nonviolent protests may be more politically effective than violent ones. Yeah. A lot of these libs want to see the sun blotted out from the sky, too. Don't kid yourself. Taibbi then examined what's been happening within the media itself. By my count, at least 8 news organizations dealt with internal uprisings. Most involved groups of reporters and staffers demanding the firing or reprimand of colleagues who'd made politically problematic editorial or social media decisions. Taibbi lamented at The Intercept writer Li Fang being denounced as a racist for daring to ask if a black life only matters when a white man takes it. The outrage that followed forced Fang to make a public apology. I wouldn't have apologized. I don't think I've ever apologized for anything I've said on Twitter or in print. I don't give a shit. If you're going to have some kind of a outrage, have fucking fun. I'll be doing something. I'll be cutting my grass. You guys knock yourselves out. Put your head through a piece of fucking drywall. Break a brick over your head. Do whatever you want. I don't care. I'll be talking with my friends or whatever, laughing at you. I don't give a shit what you do. Just because you little bitches doesn't mean I have to be one. Taibbi's acknowledgement of the collective insanity of the left is refreshing, but misses a major point. This kind of outrage politics is not new or limited to the Black Lives Matter movement. Guess what? It's not limited to the left. I see a lot of people on the right and the right-wing media, too, doing the same stuff, just under a different flag. It's articles like this. I don't know where this is from. Maybe take a look. I have to look at it later if you figure out where it's from. But it's articles like this that kind of feed into the whole problem, folks. You know, people are behaving the same way on both sides of the aisle, so to speak. And the truth of the matter is there's more common ground between us than there you'd ever read about in the media. You can't always feed into this divide and conquer mentality where they folks in D.C. and the rich elites of this country and of the world want us to all poke each other's eyes out so they have more of a piece of the pie. That's what this is all about. This is rich versus poor, baby. The haves versus the have-nots. Left and right. Those are constructs by these folks, by the elites. So we can't all get together and strip them down from their ivory towers. The right has been repeatedly targeted by the outrage mob for years, decades actually. Taibbi's concern seems to be rooted in his fear of a liberal circular firing squad and the casualties among the left because of the outrage mob. This says, where has Taibbi been all these years when conservatives were branded racist for opposing racial quote? Well, it's not really fair. The guy wrote a book taking down the media. That's where he's been. He's been writing a fucking book. I mean, do your homework. This article doesn't quote the book. I don't know Matt Taibbi, but I know of his book. Read parts of his book. It's very good. Don't put this on this guy's shoulders. The racial virtue signaling is going to have casualties on both sides of the aisle. It's nonsense. Again, it's a construct. People talk about, the hunters would become the hunted. We're all the same pie. I don't understand. I don't get these people. They keep writing about these and keep perpetuating this political divide. I don't like it. We're better than that. We should be better than that. See, this racial thing is another trap door. And everybody's falling through it. So just brush it off and say, we're not a racist country. We elected an African-American president twice. He was reelected. If you're a racist country, how does that happen? Doesn't. And the guy's approval rating when he was president was very respectable, based on other modern day presidents, since approval ratings have been charted and monitored and compared. It's stupid. Simply not a racist country. It's, that's put to rest. Barack Obama was put to rest. And when he had scandals, there weren't people trying to burn down the White House and call for his head on a stick because he was African American. It's stupid. The whole thing's stupid. Are there pockets of racism? Sure. Is it representative of the entire fabric of the country? White, black, Asian, Hispanic? No. It's a distraction sideshow. I think largely to keep your eye not on what's just happened to you. You got fooled, bamboozled, schemed, like you've never have been before with this coronavirus situation. Of course, it's more complex than that. You could argue that they're doing this to remove the president from the White House because nothing else, scheme-wise, they've implemented has worked. So there is some wisdom to that as well. However, it doesn't mean that we're any more racist now than we were 4 or 5 months ago. Or a couple years ago, 2008, when Obama was elected. 2012, when he was reelected. Come on. African Americans, I think, are roughly 13% of the country, population-wise, voter-wise, I think, at least. How does a African American candidate win it? A national presidential election in a racist country, alleged race. It's stupid. I've taught people now, and I've told people to start thinking outside the box. This is inside the box. They try to trap you inside of a box into a certain way of thinking, and there's no way out, and you feel like literally trapped, like you're inside of a box. None of this makes sense because I'm not a racist and I don't hang out with racists, you're saying to yourself, and I don't consider myself a racist. I didn't grow up in a racist house. Oh, but I guess maybe I am racist somehow because everybody's telling me I'm racist. No, you're not. Step outside the box and understand it's okay to say I'm not a racist. You guys are full of shit. All you community leaders out there in the African-American community cashing in. This is a money grab. Don't kid yourself. The first so-called civil leader out there that shows me that the money that's paid out by these corporations, this pandering cash, and this guilt cash, I don't even know what it is. First civil leader in the African-American community that shows me that the money actually made it to the people on the street in places like where I grew up, Section 8 housing, that money actually made it to the people there and benefited them, I'll be the first one to applaud you and apologize. Until then, folks are just getting rich, and it's not the people who are getting rich that need to get the money to buy staples like food and health insurance and shoes. No. Suckers out buying mink coats, vacations, and cars. Supposed to be a community leader. Yeah, right. You're leading, all right. Leading into cash grab. Another podcast coming your way. Later today, the Big Wednesday podcast. Keep an eye on that. I've had fun on more. Is that the last story? I didn't even check. Yeah, that was the last story. On the Pain in the Morning show, losing my voice after more pain and the other stuff. So I appreciate the folks out on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for your patronage. Like I said before, it means a lot. And the podcast keeps trucking on and trekking on and picking up folks along the way in our crazy bandwagon of mayhem, truth, and fun, along peppered with music and some collective insanity. I think it's the best way to term it sometimes, but I appreciate it. And we're just getting started. This is going to be a long train running. God bless. Take care.
Keep on moving.